Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. I'm Ryan Sickler. We're over here at Studio Jeans doing it up at your mom's house. You can find me on all social media at Ryan Sickler. RyanSickler.com is my website. Dave Anthony told me I'm not allowed to say that my album is new anymore. So make sure you go get the album, the old albums, the newer album. Probably I can fucking say that. Make sure you pick that up. iTunes, Spotify, create a Ryan Sickler channel. All that stuff helps. Come see me live for some live dates. May 16th through the 18th, I'll be up in Edmonton. June shows, the 13th through the 15th with Tom Segura in Richmond, Maryland and Atlantic City. The 27th through the 30th with Tommy Buns in Tulsa, Wichita and Kansas City. And August 1st through the 3rd, I'm at the House of Comedy in Minnesota. And every week, as I say all the time, thank you so much for all the support, your emails, your messages, everything. It means the world to me. And if you're out there listening and trying to share, make sure you subscribe, make sure you download. That all helps. It's a big deal. Merch is out there. I see a lot of you getting your merch, rocking your shirts. Go to thehoneydewpodcast.com, pick up your shirts, stickers, whatever, your hoodies are over there too. You can email me. Email is honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Follow the show on social media, Facebook, The Honeydew Podcast, Twitter, @HoneydewPod. And make sure you look for The Honeydew on Your Mom's House YouTube channel. Get over and subscribe to that channel. And for you Crab Feast fans, the episodes are coming back. They're all getting loaded up. It just takes a while. It's a weird, you know how technology works. It's shit. So it's coming. It'll be free. It'll be everywhere. We'll make sure it's posted so you can find it wherever you follow the Crab Feast. And then what you have to do is just subscribe and download, and then you'll get all those episodes isolated just for you. And if you're new to this show here, what we're doing over here is finding a little bit of light in the darkness, laughing at those not so fun times. And it's a pleasure to bring on this guest for the first time here on The Honeydew. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Matt Bronger.
Thanks, everyone. Please stop, please. Thank you.
Thank you.
No.
Sorry. I'll do it for you. thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
We've been trying to get this going for a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm glad you could make it work out. And, I told you what the show was all about.
Yes.
You came prepared, which I love.
Yeah.
But before we get into that, would you please feel free to promote, plug anything you'd like?
Oh, yeah.
Social media, all of it. Albums, specials.
Okay. Well, if anyone wants to see me on tour, mattbronger.com. That's MattBronger. My new special is out. It's called Finally Live in Portland. We shot it in a former porn theater in Portland, Oregon, my hometown, the Paris. It's much cleaner now. I have my podcast, which you have to come on.
I'd love
to. Which is called Advice from a Dipshit with Matt Bronger. We listen to...
I'm perfect.
What's that?
I'm perfect.
No, I think you are. Honestly, perfect. I created the podcast for you. No,
haven't been on yet though. Guys, keep a look.
No, it's based on my life's mistakes, and people just call in. Like, it's not Dr. Drew. I'm not any kind of qualified expert, except in the terms of maybe screwing up or being a dummy. So people call in, leave messages. I never hear them until we record. And so we get them fresh. Okay. My partner / producer Amanda on the show, she culls them and cherry picks the ones. So like when you come on, she's gonna do a ton of research on you, and she goes through the archives of calls we've gotten, and she'll be like, "Oh, this is great for Ryan. This is great for Ryan. This is great for Ryan."
Okay, great.
So it's fun.
Hell yeah.
So anyway, that's it.
Great. Well, what we do here, Matt Bronger, we talk about some of the not so great times. We laugh at the face of that, we laugh. Go ahead and cut that. We laugh in the face of adversity.
Yeah.
And you told me you had a story, mm-hmm. and I'm dying to hear this story. Because, well, I won't say anything. I'm not going to ruin anything. I'm going to let you do it all.
Well, I think the focus of it is the middle and to almost the end of 2014, but it starts way before that. My now wife was my manager back in about 2007. She quote unquote discovered me. She saw me at shows, and I'd had one manager before that, but this person basically got me with a commercial agent and then just kind of just sat back and waited for checks to come in as I'd book stuff. And I'd be like, why aren't I going in for this or that? It was one of those things where I was so green that her number would say number unknown. And I would pick up and she'd be like, hey, it's Lisa. And I'm like, why does it say that? Why do you block your own call? And she's like, well, some people recognize my number and they won't pick up. I'm like, oh, that's a great sign.
Yeah, right.
So like, you know, and like she said that to me, but she also, I don't think she just, she's one of those people, she would just hip pocket everybody. For those of you listening, that is when you, as a manager and agent, you sign someone and you literally do nothing. You keep them in your hip pocket. And if they get something, you take a cut. Otherwise, you're not working for anyone.
Hip pocketing and stealing.
You're stealing. Yeah. And so I was kind of gun shy about having a manager for like 2 years after that. And I moved to LA around 2003, and then 2007, I'm doing a show in a record store, and she's there, and we're talking, and she's like, do you want to get a drink? Can I just tell you what my company is about that I work for? And she's one of those people who I found out started out working the door at a comedy club in Boston where she's from, and basically was like, I don't want to perform, but I want to be in comedy. Like, I want to be a part of this world. And, you know, as of now, like, she reps incredible names, really big people, and used to rep me. We're getting there. to throw myself in there, it's like, I swear to God, though, if I listed these names, people would be like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And Matt Bronger, who the fuck is that? You know, to your man on the street. But we started working together, and I went to Just for Last, Montreal, New Faces and
this
stuff.
Is 2007, 2008. Mm-hmm. Right,
we had a great working relationship, but it was like, this was someone I would go and drink with too and hang with. And I was not being honest with myself about where this thing was going. And one night I was on the road and she was there, you know, for business and stuff, and we hooked up. And so it was like, wait, what the hell just happened? And we're like, that can never happen again.
Now, when you say you weren't being honest with yourself where mm-hmm. it was going, were you talking about just yourself, or did you absolutely pick up on her vibes?
I was willfully naive, I will say. I feel like a lot of guys do that, where they not only keep all their options open, they go, this doesn't mean anything, but then they keep sleeping with that same person. They're like, we have an arrangement kind of thing. And at least with the first time, I didn't think, I was like, we were both drunk, what the fuck? Let's just forget about this. We had a long conversation on the phone. We like each other, but you know, she was with somebody. And so it was just like, right, no, this can't happen anymore kind of thing. And so we just kept going out together, and not even for work stuff. Just, I liked being around her as much as I liked being around any friend. In fact, kind of more, but I wasn't honest with myself about my feelings. And I went to, we just stopped cold and got in some fights and stuff, but kept the business thing going. And
we did. So personal ends, but business continues.
It does. And she gets married.
Wait, so, whoa,
yeah,
but all slow yeah. up here. Because first of all, that's right. got to be hard to do. Mm-hmm. That transition alone has to be hard to go
right.
from
right.
working to coworkers mm-hmm. to relationship to right back to coworkers.
Absolutely. And I was also, this was back at a point where I've always been kind of a big drinker. I've scaled in the last, you know, couple years that back way back. I had a end of last year, I kind of realized, okay, I'm still kind of hitting it a little hard. And since then, I've just been kind of a lot more focused on what's more important. And also, I'm old. And it's just like, it doesn't take a lot to kind of make me feel like death the next day.
It bangs you up.
It bangs you up. Yeah, it's the natural progression, you know, like lions in the Serengeti. When they slow down, it's because they're like, yeah. you know, drunk lions.
Here come the hyenas.
Oh, shit, them again? They're always out working me, taking my job.
All right, so back to coworkers.
Yeah.
And how long from that point to her marriage?
I forget. I would say it'd be the better part of like a year or
That's
something.
Quick.
Well, she was with this person while we were occasionally hooking up.
Gotcha.
You understand? And so I was invited to the wedding, and it's one of those things I look back and I'm like, I shouldn't have gone.
You really shouldn't have gone.
You ever been that guy?
No. I've not been that guy.
Yeah. Just sitting there like,
I have not been invited to my ex's wedding, no.
Yeesh.
Do you still have feelings?
I didn't think so.
Okay.
But it's one of those things where people, I feel like as much as women are far more in touch with their feelings.
Way more.
Men aren't, I think, because we choose not to be. I think we are, it's like, I know I'm like, I don't want to watch that movie. It's going to make me sad. And like, you know, women in my life have been like, but that's good. It's a feeling, you know, you gotta let that out. And we're the fucking pussies that are just like, I don't want to be sad. So there was no part of me at that wedding that I was just like, wait, no, what am I doing? I was just like, good. We got to put an end to this.
Invite and you're thinking this is it. This will make everything
absolutely
easy and better.
It's over.
It's final now.
I can get on. We can get on. Just be business associates. I can just keep hooking up with whoever the hell I want to, which is what I was doing back then. You know, I say in my act now, like at that point, not to use a biblical expression, but I would chase pussy like it stole my wallet. I think it's in the Book of Paul.
Yeah, I think that's New Testament.
New Testament.
Definitely New Testament.
Jesus was pretty chill. But I just was like, I do know, though, it's like one thing I've learned in my life is your thoughts are not your actions. You think one thing's happening. What you have to go by is the tail of the tape. So I say I didn't have feelings, but I got hammered at that wedding. So hammered that
Did you take a date?
No. All
right,
I got so hammered that my friend Pam drove me home and I forgot where I lived. You ever been that drunk?
Yes, you're like, I have.
Take a left, right. That's not, you have to say one direction.
Left, right.
Yeah. I don't know. Take a soft, hard left, right. I'm dropping you off right here. So, and then, you know, things were pretty icy between us. And then, you know, months down the line,
Icy because she was upset that you got wasted at the wedding?
No, just because,
you
know.
She's married now.
She's married now. You know, I remember seeing her and being like, how was the honeymoon? Like, I'm not going to talk to you about that. Like, good question. You're right. That was a dumb question. So months after that, she just divorces him because she realizes.
Months.
Yeah, well, because she was with him a long, long time. And it's that thing that a lot of us do. We're in a long-term relationship. And rather than go, do I want to be married? They go, I guess let's get married.
Right.
I should. I don't want to be alone anymore. This person is fine, but she didn't love him. And she was just like, I've gone through so much in my life. I don't care if I'm divorced, which I think anyone who's in a bad relationship should do. There was nothing between me and her that we were like, oh, you got to get divorced. You know, it's just like, she's just like, I'm just going to divorce him and stuff. And I was like, I think that's probably a good idea.
So she does start confiding in you a little bit about the
personal. We still stayed friendly. You kind of have to when you have a working relationship like we did. We were still buddies. And she divorced him. And then me and a bunch of other of her friends helped her move into this one-bedroom apartment. And after a couple months, we found ourselves falling back into the old habits. And we carried on a completely secret affair that everyone in our lives knew about. So, like, nobody knows. Everyone's like,
everyone knows.
I remember Kanane was just like, dude, are you fucking your manager? You know? And I'm just like, what? No. Like, people you can't lie to, I would lie to because I thought it was the right thing to do for her.
Right.
I'm just like, how, what? And just like the worst poker face. Whatever do you gentlemen mean? I've never, you know? And I was like, yeah, all right, dude. Like, I remember having in like 2009, I had a bunch of people over to watch my half hour, my Comedy Central half hour, I had this little apartment that like I would have friends over, and it was great because we I'd pay per view, like order a fight, and it would just be packed where you can't even see.
Right. Yeah.
You know? And so we did that, and everyone's like, yeah, that was great. And they're like, let's hit a bar. And I'm like, I'm going to stay home. And they're like, okay. And everyone left but her. And they're probably all outside, like, and they went home. And then right. Next time I saw like Demorge Brown, he's like, I mean, are you dating your manager? And again, no.
No, she just spends the night.
Yeah, guys. We just hang out. No, we just talked a long time, long after you guys drove home. And yeah, so, and then, it was contentious for me because I was just like, it was always uncomfortable dating, like, even when, and it was, we got to a certain point where just like, we like broke up, but then I was at Sketchfest.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
And she came to Sketchfest, and we just, it was like nothing. It was like George Costanza going back to the job he quit.
Right.
Like, yeah. You know, like we just started hanging out. Like we weren't sleeping together. Right. We were just hanging out. And she's like, look, what are we doing? Like, I can't do this. And to her credit, man, she was always the one who was like the voice of reason and just being like, you have to. And she still is like that in my life. Anytime, I'm always the one that's like either spending too much money or, you know, drinking too much back in those days and kind of being like, you know, and she was always like, you got to get a hold of this, you know, kind of thing. And then it'd be like, oh, fuck, you're right. But back then, I was just kind of like in my mind, like, who are you? Like, who is anybody? I'm a grown human being.
Right.
And I wasn't acting like one, but I had that attitude. And I feel like that's one of the most toxic pits you can throw yourself into as an adult, where you're just like, just because I'm this age, I know what's best. And it's like, I know people twice my age that still don't know, but they have to have the counsel of others.
Right.
Like, that's why I go to therapy twice a month and, you know, check in with people. I mean, the great thing is, thank God I'm like a comedian, because we have comics to look at each other and go, you know, hey, that one joke you did, man, was awesome. But that one after that was trash, man. What was that? You know, because we'll say it laughing, but we'll kind of point out whatever our opinions are. And who knows who's right or who's wrong. But if we care about each other, we generally don't hold back. Not necessarily.
No.
But it's more about making fun of each other. We rarely make fun of each other's sets. But, like, that's just one example.
Right.
You know. So, you know, like, I remember I went through, side note, I went through a breakup when I lived in Chicago. Obviously different girl, but like I spent a week, I didn't go to any shows. And then I show up to this one. I finally was like, fucking get out of the house, asshole. Cause I only left to like wait tables and would go home and cry and, you know, get drunk and watch Coldplay videos. But like, they were just beyond.
All the scientists was on, guys.
Dude,
this one gets
I would come home and turn on goddamn spider webs. I would bawl just sitting on the fucking couch. And like, I was like, now I hear that song and I laugh at that dude, you know?
Yeah.
Tragedy plus time. It wasn't even a tragedy, you bitch on a couch. But like, I finally went to this show and Kinane was like, hey, everybody, look who pushed aside all the clumps of used Kleenex to be with us tonight. And it's just what I needed. I was like, right on. You know, you need that.
It's
you need someone
shit you need.
Friend
yes.
to slap you around.
Yeah.
Like, I was never okay with dating my manager. I thought about it in terms of, what if I were a woman and she was a man? Like, everyone would be like, what is this? You know, what's going on? But for some reason, but it's like, that's what a relationship is. You have to just not care what anyone thinks if
no.
you're invested in it.
That's it.
And I really look back, and as much as I wish I would have gone, you know, like, well, and we just started telling everybody, and they're like, what? You don't say. Mind blowing.
Let me ask you this, going back to when you knew she was going to get a divorce.
Right.
Were you excited? Did you think you would reconnect?
I was a little afraid.
Okay.
I was a little afraid because I still did kind of like, you know, not necessarily, it was never that thing of like, I want to hook up with as many women as I can, but it's just like, I don't want to be in a situation where someone
like,
wants.
I'm on a motherfucking streak right now.
Far from it. Ugh, no. But you just don't want that in front of you in case you like someone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's always like you like not necessarily the chase, but you just like the options.
So there was no clear, like, she's getting a divorce. We're definitely getting back together.
No, and I liked that back then. I was like, I'm glad, bottom line, she's happy. Thank God I looked at it that way. But I didn't look at it in terms of, oh, we're going to get back together. And, you know, months later, we ended up getting back together and then being open about the relationship, which I felt scared about just telling the world. I know her boss was a little weirded about it.
But, and why? Is it because this is
she's dating? She's
time.
Dating a client.
But you guys were there.
Oh, he didn't
before.
Know.
Oh, okay.
He didn't know. I mean, look, put it this way: our friends knew.
Gotcha.
No one she worked with knew.
I see.
And it was
this is new to the business side of
yes,
things.
Correct.
Okay.
But I remember I was signed to this agency, and when they kind of expressed, like, you know, it was just a bunch of people who had eventually were planning to go somewhere else anyway, and only take their blue chip clients. They kind of orchestrated a thing with me where they were like, oh, we don't know if you're happy. I don't know if we're... And I was like, I saw the writing on the wall, so I left, which is what they wanted me to do.
Right.
But it's like, I don't want to work with someone that doesn't want to work with
no,
me.
No, that's the point.
So they... But that was one of the things they said. Like, we don't you know, think it's proper or something like that. I was like,
oh, they brought that up.
Kidding me?
Why? It's your personal fucking life.
They suck. I'm not going to say...
Why don't you put more fucking focus and effort on getting me work
it
than
was bullshit.
What I'm doing in my personal life?
They're terrible people. Very successful now, but like that's this business. You thrive on that side if you are a shit stain. All right. but I would say like it was one of those things where it was very uncomfortable for me that people knew, but also that now it's a thing. You cannot admit this is not, you know, I feel like
friends know.
It's just like it's people say, oh, guys are afraid of commitment, but there's all kinds of commitment. Everyone is afraid of commitment. A person who goes and says to their friends and family, I feel like I have a drinking problem. They don't ever forget that. So now you're on it. Now you're in it. Hopefully you take care of yourself, but no matter how you are in like 2 years, like I'm fine. I can have a couple beers. They'll be looking at you like, remember when you said that though? You meant that, you know? So it's like, there is commitment there. So with this, there was commitment in people knowing. And I really couldn't handle it that well. I hated it. I wasn't the nicest person to her. And I...
Because of that?
Because of the... I wasn't aware of it, but of the pressure that put on me in terms of... And it put on our relationship. I didn't like it. And I still had this nagging thing in my head of like, oh, I think, you know, it's the dumbest thing, but it's a thing guys say all the time, I feel like. And I don't mean to just shit on guys or blame my fault on being a man. I feel like women have this too, where you go... I love this person, but I'm not in love with them. No. But I feel like love, as we know it, is half you feel it and half you work and you choose this person. And you give that person a chance because they have all these fantastic qualities. And so I wasn't that mature then. And I basically put us on hold. But I was like, I don't want to hurt you. I just think we need a break. But, you know, just really wishy-washy. And during that time, she was just like, I called her and I kept calling her to check on her. Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And she was like, look, I don't know where we're going to go in terms of relationship, but I can't work with you with this way. And, you know, she did a smart thing, basically fired me.
Right.
And I was just like, okay, fair. I will find someone else. And then her boss, I remember I was coming out of a movie theater. He called me and he was like, look, we really love working with you. I had a space just open up on my roster. If you want, I'll rep you. And I was like, dude, I would love that. And he still is my manager.
Okay,
but
great.
At the time, Kara got back to work and was like, what the fuck?
You stole my client.
Basically, yeah, well, not even right. That. It's like, and he was like, he's one of those guys, like older dude that he's repped a million people. And he's like unflappable. Like the studio could catch on fire. He'd be like, well, this is another day, you know?
Yeah.
But he said to her, he's like, you're going to see him. You're going to see him at shows. You're going to see him at festivals. You know, like you got him all this stuff. You should make more. You should still make money off this guy, which I agreed with.
Yeah.
She did so much for me professionally, you know, and so she finally was just like, you know, okay.
Which is already so hard to find anyone to do anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. So then begins our period, basically, where it was 2014. That was the beginning of the year where and like I called her and I was like, I decided like I don't think we should be together. And she was just like, you know, you suck, you're a monster, you know? And I was. I just was like, all right, well, this will pass and stuff. But
you're knowing you're still going to see her.
knowing I'm still going
to
see
you're
her.
You're not going to be able to avoid her.
Convincing
you work
myself.
Together, basically.
Yeah, yeah, you know, in a way. We didn't work together anymore.
Not directly, but You might as well be in the same building, so to speak. I'm going to see it in fucking shows. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was like I just couldn't get it through my head that it can be that easy. You can have someone, like, I remember my dad will just throw out some crazy wisdom, you know, just like, he doesn't say much, but when he does, it's like, what the fuck, where'd that come from, you know? But like, I was telling my parents about it, and he's just like, well, you guys have a really good time together. And I was like, Dad, you can't base a relationship on that. And like, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
I think about like how one of the most interesting things an acting teacher taught me was like, he's like, why do you think directors cast the same actors over and over and over? And everyone's like, they're good. They're really, he or she loves how good they are at acting. It's like, yeah, well, yeah, there's 1,000,000,000 good actors. Why just them? And everyone's like, I don't know. He's like, because he can stand them for 6 months.
Yeah.
That's why. Point.
Right.
It's, you work with the people you like to be around. Definitely you want them to be heavy hitters, talented, all that shit. But you want to be around people that you can stand. And it's like, if you found someone that doesn't drive you nuts, that's a start.
That's
a big start.
If
you're going to have fun with them,
yeah,
that's halfway there at least.
Yeah.
So I just, for months, was just this sad sack to the point where I remember comedians seeing pictures of me on Instagram and being like, you sad, huh, man? You're pretty sad. And I'm like, what? Hell, I am having the time of my life. And they're like,
no, you're not.
No, you're not. Yeah. You know, I grew like a sad guy beard. You know, like, this is a happy guy beard.
That is a happy guy beard.
But
you're,
I don't know.
Fucking good, bro.
Thanks,
dude.
Appreciate it. Appreciate you too, man.
Thanks.
But I just was like, I tried to go back to the old me a little bit, just in terms of getting out there and hitting on women that I was attracted to in social situations.
Back to the biblical.
I was not biblical. Thank God. Okay. No St. Paul, wildcat. No, I just was like, I went on a couple of dates and I was kind of seeing somebody-ish, but I was completely noncommittal and it just felt stupid. It felt like a step backward. I was, you know, just getting wasted all the time, mostly on the weekends, but like was, you know, I turned 40 and was just like, what is this? What is my life? And I mostly was just depressed about her being gone. I didn't think that's what it was at the time. I thought it was just me being alone and having no one to talk to. But it's also like, I feel like when you break up with someone you're supposed to break up with, there's a feeling of relief. You probably feel bad for that person, mm-hmm. but you feel a little relieved. I was constantly afraid that I would see her because in my mind I was like, oh, it'll hurt her feelings. But it, in reality, it was me whose feelings would be hurt. And like one of the stupidest moments was I was walking to this gym that I went to and I saw her car. The exact car I couldn't drive here in, by the way. It's our car now. It's our car now. But it's like that. It's a little bit. It was newer then, but it's a little older now. But she has the nice car today. And so that's why I had to take a lift. But I saw it coming and it's so embarrassing. I hid behind a giant bush and the car's coming and it goes by and I'm like, oh, she probably saw my ass and my phone. Burp, burp, and I look and the text just says, are you fucking kidding me? All caps.
You should be texting to drive.
All caps. It's like, what do I say? I was afraid you seeing me would hurt you. I think something like that. It was just, what
you
kind
stuck
of
behind a
fragile
bush,
flower do you think she is? Just, oh, it's it's something that the Three Stooges would be like, that's a dumb idea.
Yeah, that's a dumb idea.
We thought of that too, but that's dumb. Now we're going to hit each other with railroad spikes instead because that's smarter. But it was just this thing of every time I'd see her, it was just like, ugh, this is weird. And anytime with like social situations, just she was there, I'd be at least not necessarily wasted, but buzzed, at least drunk, and just kind of like trying to make it cool. And she's like, don't talk to me, you know, and things. And then...
So is she pissed at you at this point, or
no,
just like keeping her distance?
She's keeping her distance, but she's also sad. She lost a lot of weight and, you know, all her friends. And she was like, she like kind of loved the way she looked, but I could tell she was really sad too. And I look back on those times and I with a lot of regret, but at the same time, we wouldn't be as strong as we are now without them. So I'm grateful for
That's
them
right.
now. But, it was, it was looking back, it was one of those things where I thought we had no chance in hell of ever kind of getting back together. But I threw myself a 40th birthday party in Palm Springs with friends, like rented a house and stuff, and like
that's the way to do it.
It was great. But it was also like, I remember after that weekend feeling like death on so many levels, because drinking like that, it not only makes you feel hungover, but it's, you strip the vitamins out of your body, and what that does to your brain, you have so much anxiety and stuff. And it's one of those things where I just felt like an absolute piece of shit. And I was in Atlanta doing shows, and I was in the hotel room, and I was thinking back to what my dad said about how much fun I had with when together, you know?
Right.
And I was thinking about the last weekend, the year before I was there with her. And we went to like the Claremont Lounge and watched that lady who crushes beer cans with her boobs, and like went to like, have you been?
No.
Oh, it's like, it's a rundown strip club that's run down on purpose. Like the bars taped together with duct tape and stuff. And like, it's just people drinking out of plastic cups, and all the women look insane. And like, they're
like home right there.
Yeah. But I mean, people say it's like, well, it's where strippers go to die, but it's like, no, it's just a place where you go to get wasted and have a lot of fun.
Right.
Rather than the strip club archetype where it's just a bunch of weirdos, like so lonely staring, you know?
Yeah.
This is not fun. But and we ate great food, and I had good shows, and it was just, it was a blast because she was there. And I remember just sitting there and being like, what did I do? And the phone rings, and it's her. And I'm like, hey. And she's like, hey, I just called because I still have some stuff of yours. Like, do you want to come get it? And the fact that she wasn't like calling me an asshole, or there's no rage in her voice. Cause like, I definitely have an anger problem. But that was the one thing with me and her we never talked about was hers. Hers is much more low simmer. And then you feel like
that's scary, like,
it's,
shit.
It's fucking.
Yeah, I'd rather know you're fucking pissed by yet when they,
I just snap kick a hole in the side of a bus or something.
And
but
she's
like
that. Okay.
Mm-hmm, yeah, just like, mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, you're like the whole you're dead to me thing. But like she was just talking very nice. And I just said, can I just tell you it's nice to hear you not hate me in your voice? And she's like, I never hated you, you know? And I was like, maybe when I come back, we should just like get a cup of coffee or something. She's like, yeah.
All right, now this chick's about to bust the Bud Light off her titty. So
yeah, I'm calling from the Claremont. Yeah, speak up. They're playing Pony by Genuine super loud. No, I'm on the phone with my ex who used to be my manager. No, listen, she's from Boston. Let me tell you the whole story. It starts around 2007. I was a
Her boss brought me.
Just someone banks a bottle of old Overholt rye off my face. But like, you know, and from then we just started hanging out, and we just were like, let's like, this is all of her friends were like, do not get back with Bronger. You know, of course she never should have. Now she's trapped. But, you know, it was like.
What year? What year are you getting back together?
This is all 2014.
All in the same year.
Broke up in January. Mm-hmm. I had my birthday in August that year. It's always August. And then we started talking again. I think it was September. And just kind of started hanging out like old times. And we. Bottom line, we realized not working together was the secret sauce that neither of us ever really confronted, because we were like, we really liked working together. And I also, you know, I just thought she's really good. She's really good with comedians. So I was selfishly like, didn't want to let that go. But it just got great, because I would root for her. She'd root for me. If she had like an idea, she let me know, or I would be like, do you think this idea is stupid or whatever? But like, we had this. There was always a thing there that it was like, it was that thing where I was like, well, I'm always going to love that person. But, and you're like, yeah, but why can't you be with her?
Right.
So I finally got past myself, and I forgot to mention one of the last time that December, when I did our hiatus bullshit, was because we're starting to look at apartments to move in together. And I was just like inside throwing a shit fit. And then end of 2014, she was like, well, I mean, if we're going to do this, I really want to live with you. And I'm like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. You know, and this is when I had a therapist. I got with a therapist during 2014 where I was like, who was like a relationship specialist, where I was like, why can't I stay with anyone? And we started getting into it. And he was like, you have to try things. At this point in your life, you're giving every reason why not, and not every reason why. And so like I moved in with her, and it was that thing I was terrified to do because I'd never lived with anyone I've dated ever. And it was like the best. I was just like, oh, this is great. Because this is like my favorite person. And,
right.
You know, we found she found a great place, and now we have a house that's like two blocks from that place. And you know Chris Garcia?
Yeah.
He lives there with his wife, Valerie. Okay. Yeah. I remember he texted me, he's like, hey, I'm new to the neighborhood. Do you know this? Do you know this? Like, I'm like, what's it? Where? He's like, my neighbor. Like, where are my neighbor? What address? And he sent me. I was like, that's my old ad. That's where I just left.
Like that actual place.
The actual apartment.
Shit.
Yeah. So
that is crazy.
I walk by it and still think of like, oh, that's where this good life I have now began in a sense. You know.
So I said to you off mic before, I was with my daughter's mother for 2.5 years. We split. We got back together. It did not end up the way yours has ended up, clearly.
Yes.
And I don't know. We get along great, but I say the same thing. A good friend of mine from childhood, had about a year of hindsight on me. He had split with his wife.
Uh-huh.
And I really watched how he handled everything. And he did a fantastic job of... because they have a child together. Like, I was just like, man, how are you fucking biting your tongue? How are you doing that? How are you doing this? And we started talking about just, and this is whatever, 4 years ago now, getting back out there and dating and stuff. And it's mm-hmm. like, and we just came to this realization, like all the shit we've been doing and trying has not worked.
Right.
So back to your point, you've got to try.
Yeah.
You have to. If mm-hmm. you keep doing the same thing and repeating the same mistakes, you're going to end up with the same results.
Yep.
Which I believe isn't that the definition of fucking insane insanity anyway, uh-huh. is like repeating the same thing with the same results.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Repeating the same thing and wanting different results.
Wanting different results. Yeah. That's it. See, I'm too crazy.
But I've always disagreed with that being the definition of insanity. Definition of insanity is not knowing the difference between right and wrong in a legal sense. But like to me, repeating the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, that's just stupid.
That's dumb.
You know what I mean?
Fucking dumb.
That's just dumb.
You're not insane. You're fucking dumb.
Yeah. So it's like, I was never insane. I'm never like,
we were just
I was
never fucking like, dumb.
I was just an idiot, man. Yeah.
So things progress mm-hmm. and you guys get engaged.
Right.
And how do you do that? How did you propose? How'd that all happen?
I ripped off Arden Marine, who I was in Mad TV with, you know, about 10 years ago, 11 years ago. She told me when we were there, like, I was like, how'd your husband propose? Like, we were just talking once. And she's like, he waited until I looked horrible. Like, I had a cold and like my hair was like a mess and I was in a robe and I was like snotty and I felt like shit. That's when he proposed. And I was
waited
like,
until she felt the worst about herself to give her something
more like
awesome.
where she just looked terrible.
Yeah.
You know, not to be like superficial, but just like, I didn't want to go like, oh, we're both at this fancy restaurant. It's in your champagne. Don't drink that. Fuck. No, it was more, she came back from working out and was just like a pile of sweat. And I was like, boop. And it was my grandmother's ring that my grandmother gave to my mom. And we actually took it to a jeweler. And they, because my mom had it reset and with like to a different shape. And we had it put back to the old kind of
the original way.
Original shape.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. So like it looks a little more like old school.
Vintage.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was the proposal, and it was also like, you know, it's like near the end before I was like decided to marry her. That was try part two, where I knew she really wanted to get married, and she was just like, you know, we were on vacation, and she's like, I mean,
does it technically if, three then?
Well, no,
just sort of dated at first.
It was more the I'm saying just from my perspective of like giving something a shot or not. You know, like try something you've never done.
Try, got it.
Yeah, so
not three. My bad.
Yeah, no, but in terms of breaking up, I don't even know. But like, yeah, it was just like, well, you know, the same thing. I've never been married. Let me try being married. You know, my therapist is like, it doesn't work out. And it's like, it's crazy for me to think about that because like I joke now. I'm just like, I don't know if I want to be buried, you know, but when I'm dead, but like, I'll buy the plots right now. I'll buy
I'm going to get the real estate.
Both of them. You know what I mean? Because I'm just like, I'm done, man. Because, you know, us comedians are always thinking the worst and are always kind of full of this certain level of anxiety of things going horribly wrong and stuff. I'm just like, yeah, well, you know, one of the worst things I can think of is just like her being gone. I don't know what I would do. And it's like, it's not to do a bit, but like that is on the fucking plug. My new special, I have an actual thing that Kara said to me. Where I think this is post-engagement, all this stuff. We're on the right track. Were we married when she said this? We're both in, all the way in. And like I just sincerely said, I was like, I don't know what I would do without you, you know, like sincerely. And without missing a beat, she goes, I don't know, go back dating 22-year-olds. It was like a left hook. It was like that. Remember? Do you remember when... Floyd Mayweather fought that dude and he was like yelling because the guy just dropped his guard. I was like, I'm sorry. And Floyd just went up, bam, punched him in his face and just not down for the count. It was that. Look, I don't want to fight anymore. Like, like just down, you know? And she said that because it's like the last girl I dated before we got back together was literally 22. And I remember I didn't know how old she was until she told me. And I was like,
what, late 30s?
39. 39. The latest of 30s. And I'm...
The last of my 30s.
Last. How old are you? 30. 30 hum?
I'm in my 40th year, if I'm being honest with you.
Yeah. I'm in the winter of my 30s. Yeah, no, I remember I was in the car with her, and I mean, this is all in a bit, but this girl was just like, you believe Pharrell Williams is fucking 40? Like, she said it like, ugh.
Right.
And I was just, and I couldn't say, can you believe I'm a month from fucking 40? Because then she'd be like, what? We've had sex. I don't want to live. Jump out the window. You know, because it's just that you're that. And I remember being that age, being like 40.
Oh, yeah.
How are you not dead?
Yeah, like you're still breathing, bro.
So old. I worked on I played a dad on a Disney show once, and this kid who played one of my sons, Bryce, he was like 8, and he'd already done all these movies and shit, and you know Trevor Moore,
yeah,
from Whitest Kids, mm-hmm. That was his show. It was called Walk the Prank, and he cast Bryce, and Bryce was like a really cool kid, really nice kid, but he said he's also young, so he just says stuff, but he was in some Clint Eastwood movie or something. And when he met Clint Eastwood, he goes, you're so old. And I guess Clint Eastwood just couldn't stop laughing.
He's that's good. Like, I thought he was going to say some shit.
You little prick.
You know. I was Josie Wales, you motherfucker.
God damn it. Don't you have any idea? Like he's looking around for guns that don't exist. He keeps putting his hand on his hip. No, but you just, when you're young, you think you can't understand why someone would choose to get old.
Yeah. What was it like dating the younger girls like that? Like
it was dumb. I
mean, were you meeting them online at shows?
No, not online. I met her through a friend. We all were out drinking, and I was next to her, and I was like kind of cracking wise, and she thought I was funny, and we just started hanging out. And
what's the oldest? Is that the biggest age gap?
Definitely.
In a person you've dated.
Definitely.
What about for you? Have you ever dated an older? When you were younger,
just. No, not dated, but just like hooked up.
Fair enough. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That.
Yeah.
What's
nothing.
The oldest?
Probably 40s.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was hoping you drop a 67 or something, Molly Bronner.
I kind of wish. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you look back and you're like, I kind of wish I would, not that I wish I would have been like more insane, but there's part of me that kind of wishes I had more story. They're all boring stories. They're all like, you meet someone after the show, they go to your hotel room, the end. Like yes. Nothing crazy happened. You know, I say I like drank heavily. Yeah. But if you knew me back then, there were times you probably see me a little sloppy, but I was never like riding a motorcycle into a candy store or something insane. Yeah, like right. I don't need stories like that where it's like, whoa, you were something else, you know?
But I mean, like, people have asked me before, like, would you have sex with a senior citizen? And I've always said, no, I would never fucking do that until I'm a senior citizen. You know, I'm not going to do that.
Then the rules are
done.
But yeah. I saw Sophia Loren in, I think it's Grumpier Old Men. It's the second one. And I think at the time, she was either late 60s or early 70s in that movie. And I was like, you know what?
Dude.
I fucking would. I would.
Helen Mirren can get it.
Yeah, Helen Mirren is still really super attractive. Yeah.
You're like, you see Red or like Red 2, you're like, yeah. She is gorgeous. I mean, it's one of those things. It's one of those things where if I wasn't married, I don't know what I would do, but I'm sure I wouldn't be that nuts, but I also wouldn't be like, all right. Like, it depends, but you know what though? I take that back completely, but it's like you get, when you're younger, you're kind of like I'll hook up with anyone I'm attracted to, but then you get older and you're like, but then we got to hang out. And it's like, I'd just rather, and you don't give a crap about scoring or hooking up. It just doesn't mean anything to you. And B, you don't want to waste your time with someone you don't like being around.
What your dad said. That goes right back to your dad.
Pretty much.
What the fuck are you talking
That's
about?
Right. Yeah. 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 It's you know, guys who are just like, oh yeah, I try to hook up as much as I can or whatever, or don't say that necessarily, but feel that way. It's like, they're not taking into account, that like you're wasting the only time on this earth you have.
Yeah.
And I think laying on on a couch, that's not wasting time.
No.
Watching TV. It's relaxing. Yeah. You have to have time. You have to give yourself treats. Can't be all treats.
I won't say his name, bitch, probably because he wouldn't want me to. Maybe not. Maybe he would.
Is it Tom Segura?
It's Tom Segura.
Okay.
I was at the ATC Festival 2 years ago in Phoenix, and I'm with a comedian, and he's single, and he's a good-looking dude. And
so it's not Tom. It's not Thanks,
Tom.
Guys.
It's not Tom.
It's just so dumb. Tom is a handsome man. Just too easy.
He's just not single.
Slow hanging.
That's what gave it away.
That's what it is.
Yeah, I'll help you out there.
Thank you.
And he goes on, it's Tinder or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never downloaded an app. I've never been on these apps. I don't know anything about this shit, but I'm fascinated by it. Like, and all the girls in comedy tell me too, well, this one's Bumble, Ryan. I get to accept these guys.
Yeah,
and
yeah, sure, sure.
So
yeah.
He's showing me these girls, and he's a little older. And these girls are tens. These are all like Phoenix girls, younger, and I mean, they are hot. And I'm like, are these girls that you're interested in? He's like, nah, it's the other way. I go, what? And these are all younger, you know, late 20s, 30s, all hot for him. And I'm like, he's like, these are girls just hitting me up because I'm in their location. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's like, and he's just going, boom, 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 boom. I'm like, holy, right now, he's like, this one's a mile from me. This one's 2 miles. This one's around the corner.
As he's flipping left, they're like, wait, no. It's like,
hey,
wait, but me.
Look to your left.
Yeah.
And I just couldn't get over that. And I could see how someone could get lost in that.
Oh, yeah.
But again, like, you know, I don't know. I just feel like it would be a job interview over and over again. And then I just get sick of fucking talking about myself.
Yeah.
Even when we do comedy, Karen, I was talking to Keystone Karen Kilgariff about it. And we talked about, like, you get sick of yourself after a while.
Yes, you do.
And, you know, it's unfair to the other person if you're just like, yeah, and so this shit happened, and then my dad killed my mom, and, you know, here we are. You know, just like, wait, what? You're glossing over all that because you're tired of it.
Yeah.
But for you, dating younger, what was it like?
You know, it's one of those things where
did you start dating in high school? I'm talking about younger.
Oh, when
you started.
No, I had a girlfriend in high school who dumped me, and I still went to the prom with her, which I think that's a sign of a real winner.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You got dumped by her, went to the prom, got dumped by your ex, went to the wedding, bro.
Hey, yeah, you're right. Never thought of that. I guess I am what you call a stud. But she's my first love, my high school girlfriend. And it was one of those things we kind of just both agreed on because everyone liked hanging out with us. And after the prom, we all went to this beach house and hung out and got wasted and stuff. But it was also that thing where at that point in high school, I was just like, fuck it. Like, I don't care about prom. I don't care. Like, I'll go, whatever, you know, kind of thing. And it was wild. I feel like I was more me then than I was between then and now because I could have brought, like,
other girls that like would have maybe hooked up with me or whatever. But like, I was just like, I don't want to be, I don't want to waste my time with them. I don't know them that well. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like, but like from then I went to college and just didn't have anything serious until junior year. Had, that was my longest term girlfriend at that point. We dated, actually, you know what? Sorry, we dated, we dated senior year, and then I moved to Chicago.
Where are you originally from?
Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Oh, you said and, that, of course,
yeah,
Oregon.
Yeah. But I but that was, I was in Portland then.
Where your new album shot live. Get
that's
his album.
Correct. Right. But then went to college in New York, just outside the city, and then went to Chicago for a year, and we had a long distance relationship for a year, which is just, I don't know if you've heard, it's a great idea.
Yeah, it's, I've Everyone been in, I've done it. Yeah.
It feels good.
Unsuccessfully it's done not, that, yeah.
It's the worst. And we, at the end of that, lo and behold, we broke up. And then I had this and that, and then had another girlfriend who I dated for 3 years. And then since then, nothing that serious until Kara, my now wife.
How were you when you lost your virginity?
I was 17.
Where were you?
In the high school girlfriend's house, and her mom walked in.
No, dude, for real?
Yeah.
What happened?
We were like kind of fooling around, and things were getting there, and it was like, and I'm in.
Huh? Oh, that fast?
Yep. But her, I will say, people always think the worst when I say that, but her mom was actually like, kind of a hippie mom and like a cool mom, and was like, she opened the door and she's like, she just looked away. She goes, Devlin, you're supposed to be doing your homework. And she left, and then she pushed me off. And I was like, okay. And then that was it. That was, I mean, we didn't get to like consummate finish, but I was like, I consider that.
That's 100%.
First time.
Yeah, that's first time.
That's first time.
No doubt.
Yeah.
I had that happen, not when I lost my virginity.
With a senior citizen?
With a senior citizen.
Her mother walked in?
Her mom. It's crazy.
How old
112. She was 112.
Could she see either
she
of
rolled
you?
In. Her wow. mom rolled in.
Yeah. Did she yell, make room for mama? Sit on your face?
She said, let me film it for you guys. I was seeing a girl in high school. I was 17, just about to turn 18, and she was 16, and her family had moved to Indiana.
Okay.
And I had no parents at the time. My dad was gone. My mom split. So I didn't have anyone to tell me what I could or couldn't do. So I decided I was going to take a Greyhound to go visit her.
Nice.
And I, unbeknownst to me, Greyhound is on strike. I don't find that out until Wheeling, West Virginia, when our bus driver crosses the picket line.
Right.
And they come out. They start throwing shit at our bus. Yes. Trash, food. I mean, they're just like, fuck you. Going, and I'm like, what's going on?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, oh, we're on strike. And I was mm-hmm. like, all right. So it takes us a ridiculous long time to get to Indianapolis. It should have never been this long, but
right.
it's taking like 23 hours or mm-hmm. some shit like that. And when I get there, she and I, now we're not having sex at all, but we're on the couch. It's like 3 o'clock in the morning. Her parents are asleep. We're making out and we're, you know, we're going at it with clothes on.
Got it.
Basically.
Yes.
And I am on top of her. And we had Rocky III was on, and Rocky III ended, and the snow is just. Psst. Remember when you used to see that on a TV?
Sure.
You don't see that shit anymore.
Yeah, right.
And I hear a voice go, "Get in your goddamn bedroom!" And I'm like, and I was on top of her, my face was down, you know, and her by her here, so I don't see anything. It's in her shoulder, and her dad had walked out. Mm. And he's watching this fucking 17-year-old just dick,
ugh.
No pun intended, on top of his fucking daughter
right.
in their house. I just took a bus. I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck there. It's a blizzard.
Wow.
Okay? So I don't know what to do. We're totally busted. I'm dying inside. And she now has to slide out from under me
oh, God.
In front of her dad. So I have to get off of her to let her out.
Oh, yeah.
Fully clothed, though, but still, we are going at it.
Yeah.
And as I turned to get off of her, I don't know what to do, dude. I just closed my eyes like I was sleeping, dude. I just went,
he's
and I
dead.
Just laid there like that. And I could hear him breathing and standing there after I heard her run away. And I was like, mm-mm, you're not going to.
That's great.
I don't care if I have to do this till the fucking sun comes up, you know, buddy. We're going at it.
We all forget about that famousest of moves, playing possum.
Just
dead.
I just stayed dead.
No, I'm dead.
And then in the morning.
No point in killing me.
Oh, God.
I'm no threat to you.
It was awful. Her mom really liked me, and she was super sweet. We're still friends. We still talk. So, her mom gets up early, and obviously her dad has already gone back and bitched and gone, you know, what the fuck? So she knew, and she's like, how are you feeling? And I was like, I don't feel real good. She goes, well, you can go lay in my son's room. He's already gone. So I'm like, great. I can hide in there while dad goes to work.
Uh-huh.
But dad throws the door open. He's like, my wife said you're not feeling so good. I was like, yeah, my stomach hurts. He's like, yeah, well, we'll see about that. And he shuts the door. I'm like, fuck.
What's that even mean?
I don't know. But that's that mind shit that dads do when you fuck around with their daughter. I'm going to do that shit if anybody, I catch anybody fucking around with my daughter.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, we'll see about that. You know, one of those like,
huh?
Oh my God.
You should just say that. Just yell that at him. See about what? This guy's absolutely insane.
He's nuts. So,
you say oatmeal?
Thank
what? Sorry, I didn't say anything, Mr. Sickler.
Thank God.
I thought you said oatmeal. Like, just keep him on his guard. Yeah.
He gets snowed in a blizzard at work. He can't come home that night. And then next day, I'm leaving.
Oh, my God.
So I'm like,
oh, no.
Yes.
He's losing his mind.
I'm just here with her mom. Her mom doesn't care. I mean, her mom cares, but her mom's not going to treat me like her dad's going to treat me.
Yeah, she knows life has a way.
I get the fuck out of there. And when I get back to Maryland, I call the house, let them know I made it safe. And he could not have been nicer to me, which blew me away. He was just glad I was the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
But years later, because I was friends with her and her sister, a bunch of us stayed in touch.
Uh-huh.
I go back to visit, and we're having this party, and her brother comes up.
Oh, no.
And in front of, I'm having a conversation with her dad.
Yeah,
this
yeah.
is, I can't tell you how many years later this is. It's, I don't know, 15?
Yeah.
You know, maybe a little longer than that. And her brother comes up and just goes, hey, remember that time my dad caught you on top of my sister? And I was like, fuck, bro, yep. What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I was like, huh? And he goes, yeah, I've been meaning to talk to you about that, the dad. And I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, what are you doing, dude?
That's so funny.
What are you doing? And
yeah.
He's like, yeah, you know, listen about that. I'm like, can we just not talk about that? My stomach hurts.
This? Dude, I mean, it's like you have we'll that see. Button, you'll push it.
Fuck.
Like my Chicago girlfriend, Kristen, her dad was a homicide detective in Baltimore. Like, in fact, he was one of those guys.
Where I'm from. Did he work on the show?
Yeah. He didn't work on the show, but he was like part of the amalgam of detectives. His
yeah.
name was Halligan. I think Bob Halligan. And
he was busy.
Yeah, he was.
He's a busy motherfucker.
He was one of those dudes who was like super funny and would like loved to have a couple beers. He would come to my comedy shows and bring guys that were like with the DEA, but I think he actually went to DEA, but all he busted were like big cases and never fucked with marijuana. He's like, I don't care if you smoke grass, you know, but like his guys with him, that was their divisions, and he told us that, and so every comic's like, all right, I'm doing my set, go get in the alley and get high, all right guys, here we go, you know, like whatever, and like they'd be like, man, you know, I mean, you think that's funny, and
yeah.
and Ed Halligan, and Ed's just like, yeah, you know, I'll come with you. Like he was a maniac, but like he, when his my ex-girlfriend's sister married my friend, I went to their wedding in Chicago, and Ed's there, and Ed just comes up, and he's like, yeah, you hear about Kristen? You know, because she lived in she moved to Thailand with her ex before me or something, guy from her past, and I was like, yeah, I heard she got married. He's like, yeah, yeah, she had a kid. Funny thing, looks kind of like you. And he's like laughing, like maniac.
Love it.
Like he thought it was so
right,
funny.
Yeah.
I'm like, there's no way, Mr. Halligan. There's no way. I was just like, all he can do is like laugh and wince. Like, shit. Oh, come on, man.
Those moments. I remember a time, this was before, I lost my virginity. I was 15. I was about to be 16, but I was 15. And, I'm with my girlfriend. She was 16. She was older, and we're both virgins.
Right.
So this is you know how this is gonna go.
Yeah.
So
it's perfect. It's you just both like, had all the right moves.
Yeah. Just get it done. And we're in the back of her dad's Chevy Trailblazer,
and
we had parked at this soccer field that we used to play at all the time, and it was just a big open parking lot, and there's no one there that night.
Got it.
It's right around Valentine's Day. And I did say Valentine's.
I know.
And, you know, we have sex. It's nothing to write home about. It was functional.
At that point, you just know, get it.
It was what you said. A few more minutes of what you experienced.
Just get it that over with. It.
And, you know, we go back and we're talking. And I guess we were so excited that we had left, I left the wrapper to the condom in the car.
Oh.
And her mom was very traditional.
Yes.
And found it.
Right.
And was like, my mom's asking me. I was like, just say we had a bunch of guys in the car and they all bought them and we're blowing them up and shit or whatever. And
yeah,
she's
like,
she's never going to believe it. I'm like, just say it and go with it. And she did. But, you know, they didn't fucking buy that at all.
Mm-hmm.
At all. But I remember a time, too. I was 14 and I was about to lose my virginity. This is embarrassing. And this girl was a friend of mine. A friend of mine's cousin.
Got it.
And she was in town and she liked me and she's cute and she thinks I'm cute and we're going to have sex and we're at my house. Nobody's home. And I go turn the bedroom light out and I'm just so excited. I go to jump back on the bed and I hit my balls on the corner post of the fucking bed, dude.
Yeah.
I went down on the ground. Yeah, I was fucking sick to my stomach. I ruined it. Yeah. Thank God. I could have waited another 5 years for that, but thank God it was only a year. But that year was painful.
Yeah.
But not as painful as hitting my fucking balls on that bedpost. This girl was ready to go. And then tells her, my friend, like, you know, your fucking friend's kind of an asshole. And
yeah.
I was like, I was overly excited and ruined it.
Me and a girl in college broke a bed, but only because the bed just wanted to break. We were like kissing. And it was like, ouch. And like I was, we had the condom right there and it was like, we're going to have sex. And then she can't stop laughing. And it's just like, well, we're not hooking up. She just would not stop laughing. And we had like snuck away from a party. She's like, let's just go back to the party. And I'm like, no, please come have sex with me.
Please, you know? God.
Hey,
have you ever been caught any other times?
No.
This isn't really caught, but this is creepy and scary. But senior year of high school, I have a girlfriend and we don't have any place to go have sex at this point. So everyone's at my place. Her parents are her place. So she drove a little Subaru Justy. It's four-wheel drive Justy. It's about as big as this fucking table.
I don't know what that is.
It was like a pregnant roller skate. That's what it was.
I'm from the land of Subarus.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Look up the Justy.
Okay.
And so we go to this old baseball field. That's where a lot of our sex happened, I guess, fields. And we finish. And then I see it too, like this light. And she's like, why'd you turn the light on? I said, I didn't turn the light on.
Oh, no.
And we turn around and there's some dude with a flashlight right in the car. We're both buck naked. Okay.
Oh my God.
And we're like, what the fuck? And he starts beating on the window. Now, I'm guessing we didn't see any other cars, but there was a house that was like up on the hill.
Right.
And probably got sick of people fucking there all the time or doing drugs or whatever they're doing.
Sure.
And he's shining this light in. We're both buck naked. And she's getting dressed and she's like, drive. And I'm driving naked. He starts chasing us. And I'm naked for miles and 20 minutes, probably 15, 20 minutes.
Wait, who's this he?
Fuck naked.
Is he a cop?
No.
Oh, no.
We don't know who he is. He's definitely not a cop. He's in a pickup truck just chasing
us.
So I'm assuming it's the dude up on the hill. But man, that scared the fuck out of me. And I'm in a little tiny, it's not a getaway car.
Right,
you know what
right.
I mean? That thing's a lawnmower.
Yeah.
And I'm just cutting hard and trying, finally shook his ass. But
wow.
Man, that was really fucking creepy and scary.
Yeah, that's
a scary one.
It's really scary.
I'm trying to remember. This is embarrassing. This is humiliating, but I love you, so I'm going to share this with
Thanks,
you.
Buddy.
Not that anyone's listening to this.
No, it's just you and me. When do we start rolling, by the way?
We're not. We're just going to keep
going. Good. I never would have shared all that personal shit.
A good friend of mine, I considered her my mom growing up. I would stay at their place a lot, and I was home one summer. I lived here, actually, and come home for the summer. And we go out drinking. Now, her son and I are great friends, but he was drinking with another group of our friends, and I was drinking with another group of our friends. So I beat him back to his own house.
Yeah.
And his mom would always do this thing, like, let me smell your breath, and you just be like, oh, and she would be like, Jesus Christ. And it would be whatever you were drinking that night. It's all over her face.
Yeah.
So she's like, just go downstairs and sleep it off. Well, I was supposed to lay on the couch they had downstairs, you know, East Coast finished basement, but her daughter had this, like, little doll room. And I guess I thought it was an extra bedroom, and I went in, and it's one of these bedrooms. It's like, it's a decorate. It's for show.
You pulled a Robert Downey Jr.
It's a, is that what he did?
At the height of his addiction, he wandered into some family's house and went to sleep in the kids' room. And the little girl's like, Dad, and it's like, he's just passed out in the little girl's bed.
At this point, kids are grown. There's no children in this. I want to make that real clear.
Yeah.
There's no
did
children
in this. Did I mention he was
room.
In the Iron Man suit?
You did. It doesn't matter, I guess.
No, he wasn't. Sorry.
So,
but yeah, same.
It's a twin bed, and everything's matching, and there are hundreds of dolls, and it's all decorated.
Right, yeah.
And I lay down on the bed, and I guess I started to masturbate. And also, I guess, from deductive reasoning that all of a sudden a light switch turns on and I hear, oh my Jesus Christ, Ryan. And I look down, I'm like, oh. And that's when I realize I must have started, passed out in the middle of it, and my pants are still down.
Wow.
Flaccid dick, and I'm just laying there on this little tiny like doll bed. With all these dolls around the fucking room.
Oh, wow.
And I'm supposed to be out on the couch.
Yeah.
And I'm in this little fucking doll room. Oh. And she's like, I was going to ask you if you could go pick my son up, but I guess that's a no. And I was like, yeah, it's a no. I can't even pull my pants up.
Oh,
that is a no.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so
give me a doll to cover my penis with.
You got a Holly Hobby.
You're still that level of drunk where you're just comfortable with any suggestion.
Raggedy hands hanging over my dick just to cover it up. Yeah, that was really fucking embarrassing.
Yeah, my
God. That
was
embarrassing. Oh, my God. So you are now, how many years have you been married now? Are you 2 years?
A year.
A year. In. All right, just congratulations. You're still a newlywed.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. But we've been together so long that marriage didn't change.
You said it went all the way back to 2000.
Well,
7-ish?
10. 10 is when we started kind of hooking up, 10 or 11. But it was like... being married is just kind of, it's just kind of made it better. And I know it's like, they say like, oh, you get married for mostly for her. So she feels secure and stuff. But it was just like, I wanted to do it too, just to have like, oh yeah, that'd be a cool thing to do. And when we did it, we got married in the courthouse and then had like,
Here or Oregon or
Portland? Yeah. Yeah. And then the next night had like a big party for everybody. And so
I like that.
Yeah, we just had the wedding we wanted to have that was perfect for us. And
I always feel bad for people at a wedding because it just seems like they're just thanking everyone. They never get a moment to themselves to even enjoy their day.
It's not necessarily for you. It's for your friends and family.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You know what I mean? To let them kind of celebrate
prom.
You. For sure. Mm-hmm. And like even at that party, I remember I just kept having to run away and I would just take food and shove it in my mouth and then go back to talking to people.
Yeah.
Talking to people because you don't. And there are people like... Like yeah, people were going outside a bunch to get high, and like they were. I had no idea. I didn't know. You know.
Do you want kids?
We want one. So I think
so you're gonna have triplets.
We're gonna go. Yeah, of course.
You're gonna have triplets.
Sure.
You want one.
You'd have four headed daughter. No, So it's like now we're kind of figuring out when, because it's, you know, we're both. I'm old and she's a little. She's younger than me, but you know, she's getting there. So it's like, yeah, we're gonna and. That's the plan. Just have one if we can. Yeah. And you have just one, yeah?
I have one and a stepson, yeah.
Okay, great.
But my daughter's 4, yeah. And it's, how old are you now?
I'm 44.
Okay. I was 40 when we got pregnant, 41 when we had her. But you look good, dude. You don't look your age.
Well, one thing.
It's the body you got to worry about, yeah, though. Right. If you can keep up with a
Oh, this is covered in scars.
How about these knees? Are these knees in good
Not
shape
bad.
To run after toddlers?
I did yoga yesterday.
All right, good.
Pilots, as I call it, the day before. My wife and I do like a bunch of different like exercise classes, and that's kind of like made me feel younger and kind of made me like a little more limber and stuff. Because my dad was taller than me, and now he's shorter because he's just kind of shrunk. And it's, you know, tall guys, we have so much gravity working against us all the time. It's important just to stay kind of stretched out and limber and not. I find that if I do any one thing too much, I start getting tensed up and things are just like clumped. So
that makes sense.
Yeah. If I'm addicted to anything, it's just like working out at least a couple times a week. If I don't, and I'm traveling a lot and I can't find any time, I just feel gross. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, dude, I'm so happy for you, man.
Thanks,
that
man.
Is a happy ending.
Thanks, yeah.
We needed that.
Yes.
I'm glad that ended like that.
You meant you with your dick out in a kid's room?
All right, we needed that.
That I thought
that's
was the
what
happiest.
That's what that would made me come.
Roll the
that would have made me finish.
That's my I Love Lucy ending. Your dick out.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and
it's
being
so fun.
Honest. I appreciate it.
This is a great show because it's funny and it doesn't take itself too seriously, but it's about things that at the time couldn't have been seriouser.
Yeah.
So
and
it's
you
like,
might be feel like you're at your worst and now you're like, oh my God, thank God that happened.
Yeah. I was telling the Lyft driver about it on the way over. And
he's not, he wasn't a fan?
Yeah. She.
She wasn't a fan?
But she, the Ryan Sickler? She, don't you feel that way about your name? Like, I'm sure there's people that listen to us that like, they think we're, you know,
yeah.
The cat's ass, which is thank God for you people. But like, you know, most people, anyway. But she just said, she was like, well, that sounds nice. Like people would listen to that and maybe like not drive themselves too crazy over dumb stuff they've done or hard times they've had. I'm like, that's the hope.
I am blown away by the amount of emails I've already received about that. People telling me they're going to therapy or people
cool.
like, man, the shit I went through. And now, you know, some people going through divorce or bad breakups. You know, it doesn't have to be deaths and abandonment
nope.
and abuse.
Nope.
You know, it's. You know, depression or bad times get a hold of you, however they do, and they're there. It's all real.
Your pain is your pain.
That's it. That's right.
And you have to deal with your pain, and it's like no one else's pain.
That's right.
You know? I remember Ziggy Marley said about, they asked him about white people with dreadlocks, and he said, you know, the white man can go through many struggles, but he'll never know the struggle of the black man, and dreadlocks mean a black struggle, evidently. So I guess I'm saying white people don't grow dreadlocks.
Yeah, please.
I mean, I think we're all headed there.
We're all, yeah.
That was stop. What we were talking about mm-hmm. just now, right?
That's what the whole show is about.
I had to be a joker about it, but I do say on my podcast a lot, what you think is going to happen is far, what will happen is way less worse than what you think.
Yeah.
When you have something coming up that you're like dreading or something's terrifying or whatever, it's like I look back on that time and I was like, I was in hell, but now I'm not. And
right.
now it's like, my life is better because I had that hell.
And you because I mean? You dealt with it.
Yeah.
That's right.
Thanks. Well, I also lucked out. You know,
well,
she gave me a chance.
You are lucky.
She
you
should
a, you
not
a good
have.
Wife. She shouldn't.
Yeah,
she
no. Shouldn't I mean, that, I feel no. like just none of us deserve the ladies we're with.
Well, thank you for coming on.
Thanks, man. It was great.
I really appreciate it. It's great to have you. And will you
thanks,
one
buddy.
More time promote anything you want to promote?
Just finally live in Portland. It's on Amazon Prime and Google Play and iTunes and all that jazz. And Advice from a Dipshit, which is on wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. And if you want to see me on tour, mattbrogger.com. I got a bunch of stuff coming up. Not in April, but a ton in May. So
awesome. Go see Matt live. Go check out his special. I am Ryan Sickler on all social media, ryansickler.com. Talk to y'all next Monday. See y'all next Tuesday.
To have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo!
Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.